Before David came, he was told you're going to be a king in the palace. He was anointed by Samuel, but he was still in the paddock. And before he came from the paddock to the palace, a giant, Goliath, appeared. The children of Israel were told, you're coming out of Israel, you're going into the promised land. Just before they came into the promised land, giants appeared. And giants are always a sign that you are coming in. God is calling you into your destiny. And giants, they're not just physical things. Giants, as we'll see in this passage, they're spiritual things. You could have a giant of rejection, or a giant of some sort of illness. It's always stopped you going forward. A giant could be an ongoing sin that you've never managed to conquer in your life. It could be a problem with anxiety that cripples you and you've never been able to move forward in it. And this giant keeps appearing. And I believe today God is saying he wants giants to be destroyed. So let me read the passage. And I read from 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 17. Actually, I've got to go back before then. I'm going to have to read the whole thing. I'm sorry. We're going to do a little bit of reading today. Let's go back to the start of chapter 17. We're going to read a whole lot. Then the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socha, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socha and Azekah in Ephes-Danim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they camped in the valley of Elah and grew up in a battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And a valley was between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then he will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. And 3 elder sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd son, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. And David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And as the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening, then Jesse said to his sons, "David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them." Saul and they and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left with the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp of the army, was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines were drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supply in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." When David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Israel that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to this man. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I knew your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him towards another and said the same thing. And the people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail him because of him. Your servant will go and fight against this Philistine." And David said to Saul, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of his flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the arms of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. David said to Saul, "I can't walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag as a pouch which he had, and the sling which was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come out with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds, to the air, and the beasts of the field." And David said to the Philistines, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, of God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the beasts, wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand." So it was when the Philistine arose and came near and drew near to David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. So the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine. And I want to just make a few points. This isn't about physical Goliaths. These are types. New Testament says the Old Testament are types. And the giants that we face are, as I said earlier, they are not physical giants, they are spiritual giants. And as Goliath seemed imposing, and he seemed enormous, and he seemed undefeatable, and he seemed intimidating, sometimes that's exactly what your giant feels like. It could be a giant of low self-esteem, just won't go away. It could be a giant of anxiety, like I said, or ongoing sin, which seems to, you never seem to overcome. And giants, they intimidate. Giants speak. Goliath came and he spoke to David. And giants say to you, "I'm going to defeat you. I'm going to destroy you. You're not going forward. I've been here too long. You'll not overcome me. And to the religious mind justifies bowing to the giant. It goes on with the religious activity, but like Saul and his men, they see certain things and they bow and say, this is too hard. We'll go on with our religious activity, but certain things God's people will not overcome. And there's a teaching in the church these days. The scriptures warn us to beware of in the last day. And it's a gospel devoid of power. A gospel will be preached, denying the power thereof. So beware of a gospel which teaches you, you've got to be practical, you've got to be religious, but just try to be good. But you're not going to have victory over all things. The Bible says that in Christ you are more than a conqueror, that you can do all things through Christ who overcomes. So here's David. And this is a wonderful story about this giant. And in Sunday school they teach you, someone said to me this week, Sunday school they teach you that God sent David to destroy Goliath. But as someone rightly pointed at me this week, that's Sunday school teaching. The real reality is God sent Goliath to reveal David. It was time for David, the divine time. He set time to be revealed, and God sent the giant to reveal who David was. It actually revealed he'd been anointed king. And Goliath was the one God sent that brought him from the pasture into the palace. And David is known as somebody who had a heart, a man after God's own heart. And it wasn't just about the things that he loved and the things that God loved, but his heart was full of faith. And the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when you're somebody of kingdom faith who doesn't fear because you know who God is and God is with you, when you understand the anointing upon your life as David had just been anointed, when you speak the word of God and you speak what God says and not what man says, when you declare that we shall overcome this and nothing shall stop us going forward because the power of God is with us. And when you start to speak the word of faith and you do not speak in agreement with what you see, you're not speaking in agreement with what your giant is threatening, as soon as you start to do that, religious people will call you proud. His brothers, they'll misunderstand you. Those who want to come into agreement and have what I call a reasonable faith will call you maybe arrogant or full-on or excessive or fanatical. Just get used to it. It's just the way it is. He comes in. He's got a different spirit to his brothers, and they say, I know your pride. I know your pride in verse 28. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You've come down to see the battle. And David says, isn't there a cause? The others came and they said, the first is Eliab. You're proud. But when David heard these words, the words that he'd said were reported to Saul. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Isn't that a tremendous thing that maybe a 17-year-old boy said? He says, all these other people, they're failing. Their hearts are failing. They think they're going to go under. They think their giant's going to take them out. Their hearts are failing them because of fear. But he said, I have just received the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life, and God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. And when somebody is going to take down their giant, when you're going to take down, because God wants you to move forward at this time. God wants you to conquer that thing that's always stopped you going forward. This is a season where God wants, whatever it is, I don't know what it could be. It could be anxiety. It could be just a lack of something. It could be something that you know in your character that keeps popping up. Maybe you're somebody who, when things go against you, you speak rubbish instead of speaking in line with the Word of God, or you won't praise God when it's hard. The things that the enemy's doing that you've always failed at before, God is saying, this is the season where you're not going to go under anymore. This is a season when you're going over. God, I know this is a set time where God is decreeing victory for his people. And all we have to do is align ourselves with the Word of God, because the Word of God will never fail. And David was a victor when everybody else was just cowering. Everybody else was just doing religion. But David had, because he moved in the power of the Holy Spirit, he understood the anointing upon his life. And when you have the anointing upon your life, I tell you what happens. As soon as, the reason you have many of your problems is because when you're anointed in the Holy Spirit, the devil knows who you are. That's why he comes against you. That's why he speaks to you. That's why you go through things that other people don't even understand. It's because God knows who you are, but the devil also knows who you are. And when God knows who you are, the devil knows who you are, the giant knows who you are, but Saul's men don't know who you are. But here is David, and when I read this out today, I just feel the faith in this passage. And I feel that God wants to impart faith in this house today. That God wants you to know, whatever the enemy is trying to put in front of you, whatever obstacle the enemy wants, it's only put in there in front of you to reveal who you are in God in the heavenlies, to display you before the spiritual realm that you're a true son of God, that you're a child of God, and that you're an overcomer in Jesus Christ. That's what the giant is for. It's not to take you down. It's to reveal your faith in the spiritual realm. And how is that faith revealed? How is this giant overcome? As I said, first of all, the most repeated command in all the scriptures, fear not. When they're all cowering, but the Spirit of God comes upon you. The Spirit of God is a spirit of boldness. And when the Spirit of God is upon you in boldness, there's something you will see. In a similar passage, when 12 spies came to the promised land, and they too were confronted with giants, 10 of them said, we can't go forward, like Saul's army, we can't overcome. And 2 of them said, it doesn't matter, they're hugely bigger than us, we're small. 10 of them said, we can't. 2 of them said, we will and we can. What was the difference between the 10 who turned back, the 10 who had no faith, the 10 who displeased God, the 10 who couldn't believe, and the 2 who pleased God and ultimately inherited all the promises of God? What was the difference between the 2 of them? I tell you the difference. The giants were there. The same giants. They all saw the same giants. 10 of them just saw the giants. 10 of them saw the circumstances. 10 of them saw the reality that was placed before their eyes. 10 of them saw what was happening, but that's all they saw. The other 2 also saw the power of God. They actually saw the power of God that was with them and would never leave them and would overcome the battle that made them fear not. And you have to actually see. This is why the Bible says, fix your eyes on the things above. For you to overcome, you actually have to see in the Spirit who is with you. If God is truly with you and he's with you in power, you cannot fail, because he cannot fail. But you've got to see it in the Spirit. You can't have a theory of it. You've got to see in the Spirit. That's why you seek his face. Who is with you? You've got to have a knowledge that God Almighty is actually with you. He's upon you. He'll fight for you. You'd have to fight for yourself. But you've got to see it in the Spirit. And David had seen it because he'd seen it before. So David was anointed. He was not fearful, because he knew and he could see the power of God in his life. Have you seen it? Have you seen what the anointing can do on your life? Nothing can stop you. Nothing can overcome you if the Holy Spirit rests upon your life. And David, he comes to Saul, and see, everyone else underestimates him. You know, the devil says to him, you're just a boy. Or Goliath says to him, "You come, you're just a boy." He pulls up to him and says, "You're just a boy," and he disdained him. Saul said, "You're just a boy," because the devil always underestimates you, and religious people always underestimate who you are in God. But you have a history in God that has prepared you for every battle. You have a personal and a private history that nobody knows about. But you've been through stuff. You've been through stuff and you've been through challenges with God. And the truth is that God has never, ever failed you. He has never failed you. You may have failed God, but every time you've trusted God to win a battle, He has won it for you. Every single time. And David says, "I fought the bear when he came to take the sheep. And I know the power of God, what it is to have it on your life. And I fought the lion. I've been through battles. I've been through private battles in the night. I've been through battles that you don't even know about. But they're only so I can fight bigger battles. And the reason you go through your small battles is that you're prepared for a bigger battle. But whatever you're facing now, I want to tell you, God has prepared you. You are ready to win your battle. There's stuff you've been through and you've arrived at this place and God has never, ever failed you. He has brought you through every time. That bear didn't destroy you. That lion didn't destroy you. That sickness didn't destroy you. That debt didn't destroy you. You're still alive and breathing and God's still for you. So He's prepared. You are prepared. You've got to know you're prepared. And you also got to know you don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to pray like anybody else. You don't have to preach at anybody. You don't have to live like anybody else. Your walk with God is your walk. As long as you're living to be righteous and holy, you're free to be who you are. And you don't have to be like your pastor. You don't have to be like anyone else you think to get victory. The only thing you require is faith. The only thing you require is faith in God, because I've said this many times, but faith is like a lightning rod in the storm. The power of God is with you, but unless there's a conductor, the power won't be released. The power won't affect your battle. But when there is faith, just your faith, you just trusting in God to fight your battle for you, the power of God will come into your situation. The power of God will come at the exact right time and turn it around, but you've got to believe. You've got to trust that God will fight your battle for you. God loves you. He's zealous for you. And He will stand still. Stand still. The Lord will fight for you, Moses said. But you've got to know that's reality. You've got to know you're prepared. You've got to know you are you. And you don't have to be anybody else. You know, the enemy speaks to you. The enemy speaks to you. The enemy has a language. And he speaks to you in the morning. He speaks to you. And he tries to oppress you. And he is empowered. It says that Goliath cursed David by his gods. Whatever you're facing, there is a demonic power behind it. And the reality is that if you're going to win, you can't be religious to confront power. You need more power. You need a greater power. You need the power of God. You need the power of God to take down your giant. And you need to not listen to what the enemy is saying. The enemy speaks and he says, "You're just this." The enemy disdains you and says, "You're never going to get there. It's never going to change." You know, it's like the disciples, when they were going up, Jesus says, "We're going over to bring deliverance. We're going over for a great victory." When the storm came, they said, "Well, we're going under." Because they start to speak in agreement with the storm. And you start speaking in agreement with what the enemy sends rather than what God says. So the enemy comes and he disdains him. He says, "You're just a boy. You're just a boy. You're just a nothing. You're just fatherless. You're just someone who's never had a dad. You're just somebody who's full of sin. You've always been a sin." That's what the enemy says. How can God make anything? How can God fight for you? You're just a this. You're just someone who's full of anger. The enemy is always speaking. You're just rejected. Nobody wants you. But I want to tell you, when the enemy speaks to you, you've got to speak back. You have to open your mouth when the enemy starts to speak to you, because he has a language, and you have to decree in the face of him the word of God. That's what faith does. It doesn't deny there is a language. It doesn't deny the enemy is speaking to me all the time. The enemy is speaking to me. I'm going to destroy you with sickness. I'm going to destroy your health. I've had so many battles. I've had small battles with my health. And the enemy says, you're going under, but I'm not going under, because the word of God says, by his wounds I am healed. And I shout it in his face. And we speak to him when he says, you're going to live in lack your whole life. There's a language that the enemy speaks into your spiritual ear, and you have to know how to deal with it. And the only way you deal with it is decree the word of faith. You got to speak what God says into the face of what the enemy is saying. And while the enemy is saying to him, you're just a boy, I disdain you, he says, I'm just a boy. I tell you what, I'm a boy, but I'm a prepared boy. I'm a boy, but I'm an anointed boy. I'm a boy that's seen the power of God destroy the lion and the lamb. And I'm the boy, and I'm about to run at you, and my God is with me, and he will deliver me, and I'm going to run at it. And this day I will feed your carcass to the camp. See, faith has a language, and it speaks like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When he puts them in the fire, he says, I know you can put me in the fire, but my God will deliver me. Whatever I'm going through, whatever you're saying to me, devil, I know it may not feel good, it may be hard at the moment, but I know it's not going to stay the same. And I know you're not going to win, because I know my God will deliver me, and my God will overcome you, and my God will deal with you, and my God will fight and cut your head off. You've got to use your language. You've got to use your language, because the Bible says you'll decree a thing and it shall be established. You know, everything that David spoke in faith, God did. I want to tell you, it wasn't his slings, it wasn't his stones that got the victory, it was his declaration, it was his faith. And when he declared who he really was in God, I'm an overcomer, I'm not enough, I'm not listening to the devil, I'm a victor, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. When he declared it, God established it. It says that you'll declare a thing and God will establish it. He says, I will give the carcass, your carcass, to the camp, the Philistines, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, and all Israel will know that there is a God in Israel. For this battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is God's. Whatever you're going through, the battle is, it's put before you. Why? It says that people will know that there is a God in Israel. God allows you to go through battles. So when he delivers you, people around you will say, there is a living God. When he does what he, that's why you go through trials and battles. Not just, it's so that there is a testimony. And at the end of it, people say, he was gone. There was no hope. He was defeated. But there is a God has moved for him. He prayed, and I know God did this. I know God, he declared God was going to do it. My goodness, look at him. He was broke as a church mouse. Now he's got money. He was sick as a pig. Now he's healthy. And people know there is a living God. There is a real God. That's why God allows it, to reveal you and to reveal his glory. Now finally, when you get victory because you know God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. You know in your heart, you don't have to be afraid of anything because God is with you. And you actually have seen his power. You know he's never failed you in the past. You know he's won victories in the past and he's unchanging. He'll win victories in the future. You know that. You know it doesn't depend on you being like somebody else. You know God's prepared you already for this, whatever it is you're facing. You've been prepared for it in the past. And you start to speak about, you don't let the devil speak to you, you start to speak to the devil. You start to speak to him. You know the best thing you can do in the morning? David was a worshiper, he was a praiser, and he realized when he praised God in the presence of Saul, the demon that was tormenting Saul would flee. That's one of the things we really have to learn in this season, is that when the devil starts to speak to you, even if you don't know what to say, just start praising God. Just start praising him for the victory that's coming. Just start speaking the language of praise. You don't have to know your Bible inside and out, but just start speaking how good God is and what he's going to do for you. Because he loves you, and he will not let you be destroyed, but he's going to take you over into your destiny. And you know, David, he knew this thing, the final thing that you've got to understand. He said to me, he said to Saul, he said, look, he said to Goliath, you come at me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin. They're weapons. And the Bible says, you got weapons. Weapons of warfare. He says, you come at me with a natural weapon. You come at me with a sickness. You come at me with a war. You come at me with a sword or a javelin or a spear. He says, I got a weapon you know nothing of. He says, but you come at me with a sword, a javelin, a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I want to tell you, if you only knew the power in the name, if you only knew the power in the name, he knew this little boy who had the anointing, he knew the power in the name. And Lord, this is what faith does. It speaks, but it speaks in the name. And you know what the name of Jesus is? The name of Jesus. Jesus said in Acts, in John 14, John 15, you ask anything in my name and I'll do it. You ask anything. When Peter knew the power of the name. Paul knew the power of the name. Peter saw a man crippled and said, in the name of Jesus, arise and walk. The paraplegic spirit was broken off him and he walked. And Paul knew the power of the name because it was the demon girl following him and she had a spirit of divination. She was speaking and annoying him and he couldn't get his work done. And this girl was driving him crazy because this spirit was working through her and stopping him. And he said, in the name of Jesus, get out. And it got out right then. And Jesus said to the ten, when he sent them out on mission, he said, they come back and they were just amazing. They said, we went out. We confronted all sorts of obstacles. We confronted hellish situations in home. People were sick. People were demonized. And he said, but when we came, we saw Satan fall. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. I tell you what, when you invoke the name of Jesus. See, when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and then he gave us the use of his name. When you use the name of Jesus, you invoke all the rights associated with that name in the spiritual realm. That's what happens in the spirit. When you use the name of Jesus like power of attorney, you get all the legal rights associated with that name. They start to happen. That's why, listen to this. Listen to this. Psalm 44 says this. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. That's the church. That's God's people. How? Through you, we will push down our enemies. How? Through your name, we will trample those who rise up against us. I will not trust in bow, nor shall I trust in sword, save me. But you have saved us from our enemies. Through your name, we will trample down. Through your name, we will trample down those who come against me. Dave, when Goliath came at David, he said, I got a sword. I'm going to cut you into bits. I'm going to destroy you. Your life is not going to go forward. You're not going to come into anything God's promised you. Nothing's going to change. You're going to be like all the rest of it. That's what the enemy starts to speak to you. And the enemy's great weapon is fear. And David says, you got a weapon and a spear. But I know something in the spiritual realm. I know something in the spiritual realm. I don't listen to what you're saying. I speak what God's saying. And I know when I declare what God is doing and who God is, and I declare it in the name of Jesus, something something happens. Something happens as the power of God comes into my situation, starts to move things. When I start to speak the word of faith in the name of Jesus into my situation, the power of God starts to come in and deal with those things that I cannot deal with myself. It's in the spirit. And God is saying to people today, this is your destiny time. This, whatever you're facing, it's come at you many, many times before. But God is saying, you are not going to turn back. You're not going to be like the people of Israel. You're not going to be like the 10. God's saying, I'm calling you forward to be like Joshua and Jacob, to not be dismayed by the giant, to be not be intimidated what the giant is saying to me, to not be intimidated by your circumstances, but God wants you to see His power is with you this day. He wants you to see in the spirit realm, not as a theory, that God is with you. God loves you. He'll never ever forsake you. He is with you, and He moves when only moves at one time when there is faith in His people. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's so much religion. There's so much performance, but there's so little believing in the church today. And God wants you to, whatever it is you're facing today, is just to create in the face of the enemy. Whatever He's saying, speak the word of God to what the enemy's saying to you, that you're not going under, you're going over. You're not going to be destroyed. God's going to destroy the enemy. You are more than a conqueror. I don't know, somebody's got a sickness and it keeps coming back, and the enemy's saying, I'm going to destroy you. But God says to you, I've never ever failed you. Think about how I delivered you last time. Think how I delivered you before. I'll deliver you again. I am the same. David says, He will deliver me. The Lord will deliver me. He will strike you. This day I will take your head. You're going to start to rise up and use your tongue and start to speak the word of God, what the enemy's saying to you. You're going to open your mouth and declare by the word of faith what God is going to do for you, not what the enemy's going to do to you.